Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Today's Friday, March 22nd, 2024. It's 11:41 in the morning Eastern Time. We'll take a look at what's going on with the markets, how they're doing year to date. The Federal Reserve left interest rates alone this week, so we'll talk about why the market's like that. Federal Reserve also made some comments going forward. The Congressional Budget Office recently released a report on the financial impacts of immigration to the United States with projections going forward to the year 2033. We'll talk about that. It was announced, I believe earlier today, it might have been yesterday, that the upcoming Summer Olympic Games in Paris, the opening ceremony will be broadcast on IMAX. Oh, we'll talk a little bit about the financial impacts of the Olympic Games. We've got news there. Reddit has now begun trading as a public stock. See what's going on with that. And today we'll take our first look at the Yahoo Mutual Fund screener. So we got a few things to cover today. As far as the markets, yeah, they're slightly down right now, but up for the week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 0.42%. S&P 500 down 0.12%. And the NASDAQ Composite has just gone even now, up 0.00%. Yeah, basically, markets have been up for the week. On Wednesday, the Federal Reserve issued its policy statement regarding interest rates. Markets were somewhat afraid that the Federal Reserve might raise interest rates because try to battle inflation, because some of the recent inflation reports have come out higher than expected. But as I've talked about on previous sessions, those reports are also subject to a lot of revision. But the Federal Reserve announced basically it's going to keep interest rates where they are and still anticipates beginning to lower interest rates later on this year. So the market did like that news. As far as what the markets are doing year to date, well, first of all, as I've mentioned in the past, the easy way to get these numbers, just use whatever search engine you like to use and type in stock market, two words, and then YTD, year to date, returns. And usually Market Watch comes up as one of the first results. That's the one I use. It's fairly easy to use. But anyway, markets have been actually doing well. So let's take a look at what we got here. The Dow Jones Industrial Average. Let's see, for the week, and these numbers are as of right this second, for the week up 2.36%. Year to date up 5.13%. But if we go back 1 year from today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has been up 22.91%. Okay, and then we look over at the Standard & Poor's 500 index, S&P 500, much more broad-based index. Let's see, for the week up 2.31%, year to date up 9.75%, and back 1 year up 31.83%. So obviously doing well there. And the third major market index, the NASDAQ Composite that we look at, let's see, for the week up 2.87%, year to date up 9.24%, and going back 1 year up 38.89%. Yeah, as I've talked about in the past, long-term returns on the stock market are up about 11% a year or so. For the last 2-3 years, market's been doing much better than that. Economy's been doing well overall since we came out of the COVID shutdown. But, you know, as I've said before, when I say the economy's doing well, I always say that with a grain of salt because it depends on where you are. You know, not to make a joke about it, but if somebody just got laid off, well, yeah, the economy's not doing well for them. It's like a depression for them, economic depression. And certain sectors, you know, have been laying off. I know some of the tech sectors, financial sectors. But overall, most indices are showing that the markets are doing fairly well. Okay, so we've got the Congressional Budget Office. Now, their website, cbo.gov for Congressional Budget Office. Basically, what this is an economic entity. And what they do is they try to forecast the economy of the United States. It answers directly to Congress. And even though it has the word Congress in its title and answers to Congress, It's actually nonpartisan. See, Congress needs as accurate a forecast of the United States economy as it can get. They go forward for 10 years because it gives Congress an idea of what tax revenues will be. Okay, so what happened? The CBO just recently released a report on the impacts of immigration to the United States and what the forecasted impacts are. Now, what they look at both authorized and non-authorized immigration. They just look at the total, you know, people coming into the United States. So that's how they do it. You know, they're not making any kind of political statements. They're just looking at things from a pure financial standpoint. Basically, the large number of people coming into the United States over the last few years, authorized or otherwise, seems to be giving a boost to the overall boost to the U.S. economy, at least on a federal basis, although a drain on state resources. And that's anticipated going forward. So basically what happens is that we have a lot of open jobs here in the United States, and they're being filled by immigrants to some extent. We've got about 2 million more open jobs here in the United States as of basically right now versus number of people that are looking to fill them. So basically, though, it's believed that immigration throughout United States history, authorized or unauthorized, however you want to look at it, has contributed greatly to our economy. Right now, we've got about 13% of our population was born outside the United States. That is the highest of any country, at least any major country in the world. And that number's been holding steady for the last few years. And as I've talked about in previous sessions, we also have the youngest population of any major country on earth, any major economic country on earth. The average person in the United States is just about 38 years old versus almost 50 years old for Japan, Germany, and other countries, or mostly up in the 40s and so forth. Basically, here's what the CBO is saying. They're saying going forward until the year 2033, they believe that immigration will create a $7 trillion boost to the U.S. economy. Basically, we just have a lot more people working, anticipated that will be working, contributing to the U.S. economy. So they believe it's a $7 trillion increase basically between now and the year 2033. They got some numbers here. It says here, and I'm reading this off CNN Business, because of immigration trends, the U.S. is on pace to have 1.7 million more people in its pool of workers this year than what the CBO estimated we had last year. And by 2023, the CBO now estimates that the pool of workers will be 5.2 million more than it had estimated. Actually, the estimate was a year ago, not compared to a year ago. And as a result, the nation's gross domestic product, a measure of an economy's size, will grow by an additional $7 trillion over the next decade, the nonpartisan agency projects. The federal government will benefit from that growth, which will lift tax revenues collections by $1 trillion. However, they are saying that this is creating a strain on state and local government resources. The federal government's benefiting, overall economy's benefiting. The main issue is public schools. See, here in the United States, we have universal education, free education, and anybody can be enrolled in school, citizen, non-citizen, whatever. And apparently it's creating a big strain on state and local governments. That the main areas, public schools, there are other areas, but anyway, but you could, if you're interested, you could read the article in more detail. Basically, you could go to the CBO.gov website, or I'm on CNN Business. You could just probably Google CNN $7 trillion boost to U.S. economy from immigration, and you can take a look at the article yourself. So anyway, we got that news also. All right, Olympic Games. Yeah, it was announced that the Olympic Games are coming up, July, I believe, and they'll be held in Paris. And it's announced that the opening ceremonies will be broadcast live on IMAX. I'm not sure if you've heard, but the interesting thing about the opening ceremonies, I believe this is the first Olympic Game opening ceremonies that will not be held in a stadium. They're actually going to have 100 boats floating down the Seine River, 4 mile route in Paris. So I guess everybody's going to be on boats floating down the river. So I'm sure it'll be good. It'll be interesting. But yeah, as far as the Olympic Games, For the most part, they lose money. It's believed over the last 60 years, only probably one Olympic Games has actually turned a profit. That was the one in Los Angeles in 1984. Yeah, and the losses have been staggering for governments. I believe China lost at least $50 billion in the 2008 Games. It's also believed that the Olympic Games in 2016 in Rio de Janeiro, they might be paying that off for decades. 2004 in Athens lost a lot of money. The London Games, not quite as bad, but it is believed they were still held at a loss. And then the Tokyo Games actually ended up with a big loss. Now, a big part of that was COVID. The Olympic Games were supposed to be held in 2020. They had to push them back to 2021, basically in front of empty stadiums. You didn't have the international visitors allowed in the country. And so that's part of it. By the way, there's been a lot of criticism by economists of the way that the financial projections for the Olympics work. Basically, they all go way over budget. I've seen the numbers like massively over what they were supposed to be. But the organizers always say is that, well, yeah, but we provide a lot of jobs for the Olympic Games. It turns out those are temporary jobs. And a lot of the people working those jobs have other jobs anyway, so it's not really creating new jobs. But then they talk about the large number of visitors that come for the Olympic Games, which is true. They come from all over the world and spend a lot of money. But what's been shown is that tourism in those cities that hosted the Olympics then dropped for the next 5 to 7 years. Apparently, these people come, okay, I've already seen everything I want to see in the city, and then they don't come back for a while. So it's been more mixed. So we'll see how the financials work out for France. Now, the 2028 Olympic Games, there's a good chance that will make a profit. They're being held once again in Los Angeles. I believe Los Angeles is the first city to host 3 Summer Olympic Games in the modern era, again, 1896. It's a simple reason why Los Angeles can make a profit when other cities cannot. They already have all the facilities. See, Los Angeles has a large number of professional sports teams, as well as a lot of colleges, universities. They already have all the facilities they need. They don't have to really build anything. It's just a matter of touching things up. Put some paint on them, and off you go. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Los Angeles once again turn a profit. Okay, so before we look at that mutual fund screener, Reddit. Reddit's that company. It's actually been around 19 years. Just looked it up. They have all those online forums where people talk about anything. All right. So they have decided to go public. They went public, issued stock to the public on Wednesday. The stock came out at $34 a share. And it said that they raised about $750 million, with the company collecting $519 million. Yeah, that's kind of significant. Going public, I've talked about this in the past, is extremely expensive. And these Wall Street brokerage firms that bring these companies public, called investment banks, which are different than commercial banks, like JP Morgan Chase and so forth, they charge some pretty, pretty high fees, as you can see. But anyway, all right, so they came out at $34 a share. The trading symbol is RDDT for Reddit, Ralph, David, Tom. All right, let's see how they're doing. Came out $34 a share. I want to take a quick look at Bitcoin also. I know it's down for the week, last I checked, but still overall doing pretty well. Reddit's at $49.09 a share, so it's up quite a bit since it went public. However, I believe it's been moving around quite a bit. Yeah, let's see here. All right, so company got $34 a share for the stock. As soon as it started trading, it shot up to $55.38 a share, went immediately back down as some investors took profits to $45.29 a share. And for the most part, it's been holding around $49 ever since. So, something to keep an eye on. Okay, Bitcoin. Let's see how they're doing here. Here, I'm just typing in Bitcoin price. $63,860 a unit. Down off its high. It's been, where has it been here? On March 13th, more than a week ago, it was sitting at around a little over $73,000 a unit. down to 63,860. But overall, been doing well. I think it's those closed-end trusts that I talked about in detail a few weeks back that are buying into Bitcoin's been helping it. This may be just a case of people taking some profits off the table. So I wouldn't pay much attention to that short term. So we'll see. We'll see. It remains volatile, though. You know, it's an investment. If you buy into it, either directly or through a closed-end trust, just be aware of the potential volatility. All right, so today let's talk about the Yahoo Mutual Fund screener. Now, the easiest way to get to this is just use a search engine like Google or whatever you like to use. Type in Yahoo Mutual Fund screener. Now, basically, there's about 7,500 mutual funds in the United States, but I think they'll bring up around 40,000 of them. So how's that happen? Well, it includes a lot worldwide. It also, a lot of mutual funds have like multiple classes of shares. Like one class of shares would be for investments under a certain amount of money, under $250,000, others $250,000 to $500,000. And what happens, the different classes, the higher up you go, the lower their expense ratios are. I'll talk about that more another day. All right, but anyway, so today, what I would recommend for anybody who's interested is just start playing around with it. Just start, you know, clicking on some of the ad categories, ad funds. But to start out today, I'm just going to go, one of the things you see right up front here is Morningstar Performance Rating. I'm going to put 5 stars. Okay, so we get 2,277 results. That's still way too many. Imagine trying to look through 40,000 mutual funds or 7,500. Now, I know in the U.S., about 10% of all mutual funds get a Morningstar rating, so it'd be about 750. But again, this is inflated because of the multiple classes and also worldwide. We'll look another day on how to filter that, but so you know, 2,277 mutual funds, still too many. So what I would probably then do is, let's see, for today we'll do this. They've got add another filter just below there. And let's add 52-week price percent change. Okay, so got another screen. I click the box and I'm going to say 50%. All right, so what I'm looking for are mutual funds that have 5-star ratings. By the way to get a 5-star rating, it's the returns over 1, 3, and 5 years compared to the volatility. So lower volatility, good returns, gives you 5 stars. I'll talk more about that another day. But when I click that number at 50% return, 5 stars, I now only have 24 mutual funds. So that would be a good place to start. But anyway, I think that for today, I'll just start out with that. And we'll talk about a lot more screeners going forward. Why even a list like this, you have to take with a grain of salt. It's based on past history. But we'll talk about those in sessions going forward. So hope everyone's doing well. Bill Thompson, T-Bill. And I will talk to everybody again soon. Take care. See ya.